Affordable housing in Oregon is a huge issue, as it is across the nation. A related problem is homelessness. Last June, Grants Pass made national headlines when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in favor of the city over its homeless camping ordinances. Here's an excerpt from the court's ruling last year. Quote, Grants Pass, Oregon is home to roughly 38,000 people, about 600 of whom are estimated to experience homelessness on a given day. Like many local governments across the nation, Grants Pass has public camping laws that restrict encampments on public property. The Grants Pass Municipal Code prohibits activities such as camping on public property or parking overnight in the city's parks. Plaintiffs filed a class action on behalf of homeless people living in Grants Pass, claiming that the city's ordinances against public camping violated the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment. The enforcement of generally applicable laws regulating camping on public property does not constitute cruel and unusual punishment prohibited by the Eighth Amendment. Grants Pass's public camping ordinances do not criminalize status. The public camping laws prohibit actions undertaken by any person, regardless of status. It makes no difference whether the charged defendant is currently a person experiencing homelessness, a backpacker on vacation, or a student who abandons his dorm room to camp out in protest on the lawn of a municipal building. End quote. Joining me in the studio to give us an update on what's happened in Grants Pass since the court's ruling last June is JPR's award-winning reporter, Jane Vaughn. Welcome, Jane.
Good morning, Mike.
So tell me what's happening.
Well, there's been a lot going on in Grants Pass since the Supreme Court's ruling last June. The big thing is there was a big change in city leadership in November with the election. So there were four new city councilors elected, which is half the city council, and a new mayor. And they're all Republicans. They ran under the support of the County Republican Party. These positions are technically nonpartisan, but they did run under pretty strong Republican values and public safety and all that sort of thing.
So this is a wholesale turnover of leadership.
Really, yeah. Yeah, it's been a big shift. And then actually shortly after they were elected and sworn in, one of the other city councilors resigned, Dwayne Younger, who's a state legislator. So he went off to Salem to do that. So now they recently chose another city councilor. So there's been big changes in terms of the leadership.
So there's a new team in town.
Yes, there really is. And they did some pretty... strong move, sent a big message at their first meeting was in January in terms of homelessness, which is obviously a huge problem in the city, and they really wanted to address it. And so the first things that they did was revoking a grant agreement that they had made with a local nonprofit that was going to purchase some land and create a low barrier homeless shelter. So they took away that money that had been given to the nonprofit to create a low barrier homeless shelter at their first meeting. And then they also made some major changes. The city had these two homeless campsites in the city. And again, the new city council, new mayor, at their first meeting in January, decided to close the bigger campsite, just shut it down. And then the other one, the hours were restricted, so people could only camp there overnight.
Okay, so let me make sure I have this.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated. A lot's happened.
So money was allocated to open a homeless shelter. That money was taken away.
It was for the nonprofit to purchase the land on which they would then open a homeless shelter,
gotcha.
Yes.
And so of the two camping sites, one was closed down, the other one underwent a lot of restrictions.
It was restricted to overnight, basically. You could only be there, I think it's 5 p.m. to 7 a.m., so that was restricted.
Gotcha.
So that was back in January, and then things have since changed because the city was sued again, another lawsuit about their treatment of homeless people. It's kind of complicated. It's by an Oregon disability rights group, and there's five homeless plaintiffs who are claiming, again, that the city's treatment of homeless people violates, state law, is what they're arguing. And it sort of harkens back a little bit to what was happening in the fall as well when they had the homeless campsites. So people at that point had to move their stuff every 72 hours, all their belongings, between the two campsites. And so now this new lawsuit is claiming that is violating Oregon state law. It's violating anti-discrimination law because if you're disabled or, have medical issues, you can't physically pack up and move all of your stuff every 72 hours.
So let me see if I understand this. Now, this new lawsuit is not like the old lawsuit, which was saying it violated the Eighth Amendment. Supreme Court said, no, it's not cruel and unusual. But this new law, this strategy that they have, creates nomads out of the homeless population, where they have to move on a fairly consistent basis, and that impacts those who have disabled challenges.
Yeah, so it's very different, and that's a good point, because I think some people, even residents in Grants Pass, don't entirely understand this point. You know, they say, we won the lawsuit in June. We already won. Why are we still having to deal with these problems? Why is there another lawsuit? Which is a fair point, but they're very different cases. So the first lawsuit that you just read an excerpt from was about the Eighth Amendment and cruel and unusual punishment, and the U.S. Supreme Court did rule in the city's favor in terms of that. But this new lawsuit is about Oregon state law, which is obviously completely different. And so they're arguing, as I said, number one, that it's violating anti-discrimination law, discriminating against people who have disabilities who can't move their stuff. And then Oregon also has this state law that's called House Bill 3115, which says that cities' public camping regulations have to be, quote, objectively reasonable. And the problem is that term isn't really defined. So the whole question is, what does objectively reasonable mean? But this lawsuit is arguing that what the city is doing now is not objectively reasonable. So the arguments in this case are very different than the Eighth Amendment. It's based on state law. It's a different case. It's a new case. And so that's why city residents are still having to deal with these problems and still talking about this again, is that now the argument is having to do with state law. And so now the question is, what is considered objectively reasonable? And that's what the city's trying to figure out, what their attorneys are trying to figure out.
Well, it would seem objectively reasonable. To who? Because the team in charge now obviously believes that their strategy is objectively reasonable.
Right. Right. And so the way they had it in January, you know, they made these big decisions. They closed down one campsite. They restricted the hours of the other campsite. Really, the only place where people could legally camp in the city was that overnight shelter, that one site that they have 5 p.m. to 7 a.m. There was no place for people to go during the day. A lot of people ended up back in the city parks, which I know a lot of residents have been angry about. You know, their parks have been having a lot of tents and people in them. They feel maybe not safe, or they don't want to go with their kids, or they're seeing drug use and all these things. And so the city, again, thought that what they were doing was objectively reasonable in their argument. And then obviously there's a lawsuit claiming the other side. And so they did recently, you know, they got sued. And so they recently have been trying to open up some more public camping options as well. They're trying to put themselves in a good legal position for this new lawsuit. So things recently changed again. They've opened up that one campsite that was only overnight is now 24/7, and they reopened another campsite by City Hall. So there's two campsites. They're open 24/7. They're not managed. It's basically just a gravel lot, and there is trash and toilets and fencing and things. But that's where homeless people are legally allowed to camp. They still have to move their stuff. They now have 96 hours, so 4 days, before they could receive a citation. So they do still have to move their stuff, but the city is hoping that that is considered objectively reasonable, as they now kind of go back to the plaintiffs and they begin this whole sort of legal process all over again.
My guest is JPR's award-winning reporter, Jane Vaughn. She's providing an update on the issue of homelessness in Grants Pass, Oregon, since the Supreme Court ruled in the city's favor on public camping ordinances in June of 2024. So with regard to the numbers, what do the numbers look like? Do we know?
In terms of number of homeless people?
Yes. I
have seen a number at one point that said there were 1,200 homeless people in Grants Pass. That was from a pit count from a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Point-in-time
count. Sorry. So that's the the count that we have in this country to figure out how many homeless people are in each community. It's sort of an ad hoc thing that different groups go out and try to literally count the number of people sleeping, homeless people, on a certain day. I did a feature about this at the end of January. But that 1,200 number, I know there's a more recent point-in-time count from last year that said there were 859 people in Josephine County. So it's not a perfect science, and some people have said that, you know, the point-in-time count is probably an undercount, because if you don't see a person, if they're, you know, wherever they are, or they're out in the woods and they're hiding, that number might not be accurate. So I think it's fair to say hundreds, but you know, it's hard to get a really accurate count. And the problem, as some people see it in Grants Pass, is that the city doesn't have any low barrier homeless shelters. So they do have, there's a big shelter called the Gospel Rescue Mission, which has a lot of beds open still, as I understand. They often have open beds. But the problem from some people's perspective is they do have a list of 29 rules and regulations that you have to follow if you live there. So you can't have a pet, and you have to attend religious service, and you have to be able to do work, to, you know, do chores around the shelter. So if you're elderly or physically disabled, it's not a good place for you. And then there are some other smaller shelters for victims of domestic violence and teens, but there's no low barrier shelter that's open to everybody. And so that's why a lot of people are ending up camping in the parks, on the streets, you know, things like that.
What are you hearing from the residents?
A lot of different things. Obviously, there are a lot of residents that really sympathize with the homeless, and you know, it's cold. These campsites are kind of mud pits when it rains. They're not super nice, and a lot of people really want to see a solution and maybe a low barrier shelter. I think the question is, what is the solution? And people have different ideas of how that should happen. A lot of residents are also really angry because the city has had a huge problem with homelessness for a really long time. Some businesses have said, you know, they have concerns with break-ins, with crime. Some people have, you know, there are people doing drugs. There are people going to the bathroom in front of their businesses or outside because there's no bathrooms. People are concerned about fighting or trash or being able to go to the park. So there is sort of this balance, you know, they're trying to take care of the homeless residents in the town, and also the house residents in the town would like to be able to use their public spaces. And so the question is how to fix this problem. They've been trying to get a shelter and then rescinded that money. Some people would like to just get people bus tickets and bus them out of town. Some people just really want them out of the park. So people have a lot of different ideas about this. Some people have concerns about property values. They might live right near a homeless camp, and they're concerned about what they could do to that, to their property. So I did talk to a homeless man. His name is Darren Starnes. And I talked to him the day of the Supreme Court decision last summer. And he's been in Grants Pass for 35 years. He's become homeless, I guess, at this point, probably 2 years ago. And he says living in the parks is like living in a zoo because you're always on display. So here's Darren Starnes.
I hate it. I hate it. If we could have some quiet little corner somewhere where we weren't bothered, it wouldn't be so bad. It really wouldn't be so bad. But this bouncing back and forth thing is hell. It's hell.
So that's, you know, a homeless resident in Grants Pass. They don't particularly want to live in the parks either. That's just the option of where they have.
Right.
And then there's also a group sort of on the other side called Park Watch, which is a volunteer group. And their goal is to monitor the city's public parks for illegal activity and then inform police. They really are really focused on the crime and the drug use. And they're, you know, somewhat sympathetic to homeless people. The woman that I talked to, Ginny Stegmiller, says she's been formerly homeless herself, but they would really like the parks to be cleared out. And they are really concerned about the drug use and the crime. And so I talked to Ginny Stegmiller in September about the situation.
So we're just hopeful that over time, if you arrest them enough times, they're going to either get rehab, which would be the hopeful thing, or they'll leave.
So yeah, it's really pretty complicated. There are a lot of different sides, and it's they're heading into another lawsuit, so we'll have to see what happens.
Well, we got about 10 seconds. What does the city hope to achieve with its current ordinance and enforcement?
I mean, I think they're trying to solve the problem, and whether or not this is the correct solution will remain to be seen, but I think everyone would like to see homeless people out of the parks and let the parks be open and see the problem be solved.
Okay, so you talked with someone on the city council?
Yeah, I've talked to city councilors quite a bit, and tried to talk to the mayor as well. And again, they've done some workshops with local nonprofits trying to figure out this problem and trying to figure out what different solutions might be. There are a lot of groups working on this, so we'll have to see what happens next.
Okay, so time will tell.
Yes, exactly.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today's exchange. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.